Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
Hallelujah. Today we're going to have a great time in the Holy Ghost. And LaWanna, we thank you, you and Brother Sean, and all the praise saints. Setting such an atmosphere of praise and worship. So good to see you here today, but it's better to feel and sense the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus is in the house. And I'm not just saying that, and it's good to have our visitors with us, hallelujah, so far away. Good to have y'all. Raise your hand, say praise to all the visitors, but especially these two here. I want everyone else to say praise the Lord. Reach over and say hallelujah. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Well, we're going to have a time today, because I'll be honest with you, I've been to A to Z and off the map. Off the map. I've been seeking the face of the Lord and the good. And I'm saying, Lord, now help me put this together and the anointing take over. I said, the hold up my shikarada mama shata. And the anointing take over. And the anointing take over. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord, Almighty God. Come in this house and take over. And you have. You started good. The Bible said this. It says this. When Saul began to come to a close of his sinning as he sinned against God, I believe, that David was sent by the Lord. And the Bible said the only way that spirit could be lifted was David played the harp. Everything's going to be all right. I may be going through the trials, but everything's going to be all right. Then Saul began to feel that spirit leave off of him that wasn't of God. It was God, but he wasn't of God. Oxymoron. If I titled this message, I'd title it, Old Times Are in His Hands. Or Our Times, not old, Our Times. Our Times, and you may be seated if you like. Our Times Are in His Hands. I've been searching the scripture for something to give me some hope, more hope than what I've got. I found the scripture. Then he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. This past year and a few years before this, we've had the biggest attacks and the biggest blessings that I've seen in my whole ministry or my life. And that's been a few years. But years don't mean too much to God. It just means faithfulness. Say faithfulness. I looked today for some people that I invited and got their names and their numbers and all this, and I don't see them, but I know they'll be back. I believe they'll be back. Says, we're going to make this our home church. And I'm glad they want to make this their home church, because where else would you want to be but in the house of the Lord, where they're praising psalms in the Lord and singing glory unto the Lord Jesus and seeing the Holy Spirit of God move and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. The biggest, have you seen the biggest lately? Now let me go back to 1994. Do you remember the Hurricane John in 1994? It formed in the Pacific in 1994 and set a world record as the largest and the longest lasting, fastest traveling hurricane in record history. Now we've seen a few of those here lately. Hallelujah. Lately. It was also one of the strongest hurricanes ever to sweep across the sea in the Pacific. It lasted a full month, 31 days, and traveled from the eastern Pacific to the western Pacific and back to the central Pacific. It remained mostly at sea. So damage was minimum despite the duration of the storm, but it broke records everywhere it went. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. that this would be a great message in deliverance and sickness and peoples and a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge and gift of faith and the Holy Ghost move in this house. And people get something from the Lord. When they go home, they'll have say, man, I enjoyed that today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. But I got something to go on this next week. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to promise you I'm going to act dignified. I'm not going to promise you that I won't kick up my leg if I can. I will not promise you I won't clap my hands. I will not promise you I'll not get in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. I'll not promise you that I'll not prophesy in the Lord as a spirit of God give the other. I'll not promise you that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils in my name. Hey, we ain't got no troubles. Just have faith in God. As though R. Debbie Shambach would say, you ain't got no troubles. Just have faith in God. These signs. Come on, talk to me. That one finger's my anointed finger. My whole body's anointed today because I know that Jesus is in the house. I know the Holy Ghost is in the house. I know Almighty God is dwelling in all of this. Hallelujah. Because he set you here today. You ain't got no problems. Have faith in God. Woo, Brother Brian. The biggest. But we hadn't seen the best yet, but it's coming. It's already here. It's already beginning to go shh before it hits the dynamite in the service. You may be a little cold with this air condition, but put a blanket over you. I would, because over there, I sometimes need a pair of long handles on. It's okay, because that's just the way we're going to have a time here today. Can you say hallelujah? We're already having a time. Some storms seem to be forever. Some storms seem to be forever. We are looking for the supernatural power of God, and we're doing our best to have prayer revivals. We've done our best to have evangelists through here. We've done our best to have pastoral appreciation, his women, his wife, and you. We love you. We've done our best to keep the church going, not the building, but inside is the church. Inside is the real church. And the real church is what gets hit. But praise God, he said, if you're my child, don't worry about the storms. Don't worry about the waves. Don't worry about the hurricanes. I'm concerned about them. I cannot say that I'm not worried about the hurricanes. I'm concerned about the hurricanes. We just had one to hit Florida and hit it again. And then one went up to North Carolina and Georgia and I believe in that area. And now what we see, we don't even know the real truth behind all the circumstances that's taking place in North Carolina. I heard one old lady she got on television, and boy, she was blabbing and grabbing. She said, you don't know what we're going through up here. I won't know the station. I'm going to check. Look, I saw it. I heard it. And in the way I saw it and I heard it, he was that foot many feet long, and he was a rattlesnake that comes out of hell. I changed on you, didn't I? I got your attention. She said this, there's people flowing down the river. What river there is, there ain't no banks anymore. There's no towns anymore. I'm talking about banks to the river. She said trees and barns. She said, I don't even recognize this place. She said, I saw an arm going down. Said they're stuck between trees. And then they say they're 93 people dead. Looks to me like there's 9,000 dead or more. But I will say the Lord has not forgot America. Now we're in a close situation. We're in a very close situation. Come on, sister. We're in a close situation. This is going to decide, I believe, on much of America's economy, spirituality, religion, salvation, churches, schools, children's, male or female, come on, preach to me. Whether their gender's going to be decided. Either way, We got so much corruption going on till the devil can't even tell it all, seems like. Our times are in his hands. You'll come and, oh, I heard somebody prophesy. I'm just about tired of some of the prophesying. Take that right. If it's not with the word of God and don't stick with the word of God, they don't live the life, they don't go to church, shut up. They don't go to a church that preaches the truth, the real, unadulterated, from Genesis to Revelation, that God is real. Come on. Hey, we're in times and perilous times. We're in Matthew 24 when the birth pains are hitting us little by little. You look at Israel. Don't go over to Iran. Don't go past. Stop it, Netanyahu. Because we've got money in that bunch over there. Just a thought. Don't touch them. And Netanyahu really listened to him. He went over there and bombed everything he could find. And he said, we're just going to do a little bit. Now, I didn't hear him say this, but I saw the results of what happened. He didn't tell nobody, we're going to send our F-15s, F-16s, whatever they got. And when they got back, 100 of their planes got back, not one pilot was dead. But they had all those potential missiles that was going to go over and shoot down, hallelujah, and be blamed on Israel. Underneath the, where they've made all these things, and it's a continual warfare. Whose God is the biggest God? Well, let me settle this right now. Jehovah El Shaddai, Yahweh, Jesus, our God. Hey. I'm going to root for the winning team because the word of God in the end of the book, in the beginning of the book, I made a covenant with them people, Israel. And I'm going to bless them. If you bless them, I bless you. If you curse them, I curse you. Hey, listen, all other nations, it's going to happen anyway. We're in a big situation. Big COVID was here. Tried to put us out, all the older folks and the younger folks. Many people died from COVID. I'm changing, but I'm going back to that. We have not got people that can make decisions. That's for America. They're trying to make a quick buck, cut out your jobs, cut out Social Security, 401. You say you're a politician. If we don't politic in the Holy Ghost, we're going to be left sitting high and dry. God will take care of his people, but I don't want to have to make him try. If I don't cry out, wolves coming, wolves coming. Wolves coming, he's here. The Bible said, watchmen, what of the night? I'm going to tell you, as a preacher of the gospel, that may not be as fast, it may not be as jumpy, but I used to be. But now, thank God, I can see the handwriting on the wall. America, wake up! You're going to believe a lie and be damned. You say, well, I don't believe in this. I want you to preach about how I can be saved. Come to the Lord, hallelujah, today, and you, while I'm preaching. You know, we preach these Peter Pan Goldilocks messages gone by, and people say hallelujah and still sit there. So I'm getting down on it. I'm throwing the ham with a lamb. So, well, I don't like it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of preaching that I came to God to, and it wasn't near about. Wasn't as bad then as it is now. I remember my daddy in the 1960s, years gone by, when John F. Kennedy said, you better build your fallout shelter. Well, I was a little bitty boy, a young boy. And my daddy's in the backyard, big digging and digging and digging and digging. Come on, Charles Jr., dig. And he was just like we are now. We don't have the foggiest idea, only through the word of God, what's going to take place. choose you this day who you're going to serve. My daddy would dig a while and dig a while and dig a while. One of our friends came up, one of my friends that I was, used to be, we grew up together. Name was James Lovett. I'll just name his name out. He don't mind it. He come up and his good friend. He did the table with us all the time. Went to church with me in tent revivals. And James said, my family's coming down here. Daddy said, I'll shoot you. He said, I'm digging this for my family. Well, I'm, hey, why get this far and tell you a lie? I've been telling you the truth anyway. Say, well, you can be a liar. No, I'm not a liar. The Bible said, Revelation 1:8, all liars and whoremongers are going to be have their part in the lake of fire. Hell. Hell will be taken to put in the lake of fire. So if you come to church for a hunky-dory good little message, you're going to get one today because the world is not, the news media and most of the preachers ain't going to tell you there's a hell. There's a university of hell, and everybody that sins will not unless you repent. You will go to hell. There's a university of hell. Everybody's not saved. I wish it was. It doesn't make me happy to preach like this. But I want to say this. What must I do to be saved? Said, repent of your sins. Get right with God. Receive the infilling of God's Spirit. If you're uncertain about it, get it. Don't leave nothing out. It would be terrible to come before the throne of God. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I've laid many nights awake and prayed and said, God, what are you going to do? What am I going to do if I'm lost? I mean, this is a crazy way to put it. Did you think when you was laying on that bed and your heart said, whatever it was, and had all those things working around you, took your blood, said to Pam, you're doing good now, I hope. You're going to be all right. But I guarantee you the little young lady, she's thinking, Lord, you work a miracle right now. And that's what she wants to hear. Somebody will spark faith and go to her house maybe when God speaks to them. Get up in the middle of the night. Whoever it may be, and walk over. I got to pray for you. The Lord sent me to pray for you that you're going to be healed tonight. I'll guarantee you, if God did it, it would spark faith, and she could be made whole and every bit of the cancer go out of her body. She'd be healed, and she'd have the determination. Everybody don't get healed just alike. Some has to wash mud out of their eyes. Some has to touch a wall, seem like seven times. Some has to go be baptized, in other words, seven times in the River of Jordan, like old Naaman did. He washed. He said, go dip. The prophet said, go dip in that dirty river. Mean I've got to go. I've beat the sap out of the Israelites. Now I've got to go there. And dip. We got better rivers over where I am. Argue with God. Argue with God. Don't ever think you got it wrapped up. You better keep those horses. You better keep that. You better, if you got it getting out of the mud, you better sling it everywhere you lay. You better all four-wheel drive. If you in a, should I say, in a mud hole. Is this unorthodox? Am I preaching to you? If you call this preaching, am I telling you the truth? If they tell you this is that you can do this and do this and do this, you better not sin, brother, sister. I know there's times you might sin, but God will forgive you. You've got to have a go with the Father. But if you know to not sin and don't sin, and one of this ain't singing. And most people don't preach like this because they want folks to come back. But if you come back, you're bound to like a little bit of the singing. You don't hear preaching like this much anymore. Health crisis. Job disruption. Damaged relationships. Our times are in his hands. A tough period at the church. Don't look at me like a tough times at the church. I've heard confessions out of people right here and myself too. When tough times come, the finances seem like a cutoff. Or it seemed like heaven's brassed over. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. But you don't get, you get from God, but it, you don't sense that hallelujah, glory to God. It's not that. You don't do that all the time. Every once in a while you cry. Every once in a while you get prostrate before the Lord. Every once in a while you let go of that little physique. Glory to God. And you get the Holy Ghost jerk. It might do you some good to get some of that starch out of you. But if God does it, you better obey him. As David in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, came across as Samuel had anointed a king over Israel. Listen, people are tired of having prophets. They're tired of having prophetical. They want a king. They want a man that can do some work or a woman that can produce stuff. It'd be better to have the Spirit of the Lord to lead you than have a man to lead you unless he's got God in him completely. But they rejected God. That's why Saul, he rejected God. He said, don't worry. They've not rejected you, they rejected me. Saul still went on and sinned. Now David come along, a little boy out on the hillside, and Jesse was his daddy, and his own father forgot him, seemed like to me. I don't find where he said when Samuel came down, and he was really afraid of Saul killing him because he knew that he could anoint a man to be king over Israel because God gave him the authority. Hallelujah. Do you think we got this set in a cement and we can do what we want to do? We better be led by the Holy Ghost because we're apostolic Holy Ghost Jesus name people. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you believe what you want to believe, but in this word of God, it'll pan out. The beginning and the ending and the middle and the last and the, hey, be in him. Be a part of him. Ephesians 6, finally, brother, put on the whole armor of God, whereby that you may withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Put on the connection. You can lay up there naked and you get cut all to pieces. You can go to battle without a helmet on, get your head cut off. I may not be in you the most choicy words that you think you need to hear. That may be why we ain't got our visitors back. Got a few of them anyway. But when the supernatural power of God begins to move, David said, who is this uncircumcised? He was coming down after being anointed as the last one. Jesse said, I ain't got no more. He said, but oh yeah, I got one more. He has been training as a shepherd. He has killed a lion. He told Saul about it. David told Saul, the king. He said, I've killed a lion, I killed a bear. Take your armor. I don't want it. It don't even fit me. I don't even like it. He said, you want to go down there and fight that 9-foot, 6-inch giant called Goliath that's got 5 more brothers just like him? You mean you want to go down and fight him? We're in big situation. We're up against a big giant. But oh, he's not too big for our God. We're up against a system that if we don't get together and talk to God and work together as a nation on YouTube and wherever we are, we're going to see this nation go down in hell in a basket. Truth. It's truth. You can hum. You can say amen. Amen. I saw a preacher the other day, and I hate to say this, but I did. I hate to say it. Because most people said, don't look, this is not politics. This is life or death. Because this church could be dismantled. The bigger mega churches be dismantled. Your homes be dismantled. You couldn't have prayer. You could, hey, if they did it to one man, they can do it to you. And I'm talking about a guy that's got plenty of money and a guy that's got prestige. He may run off at the mouth, but he backs up what he runs off at the mouth. We're not a goose stepper. We're not an Adolf Hitler. We're not an SS Himmler. We're not a propaganda Goebbels. Some pronounce it different. That was the one that was over Hitler's propaganda. We've got so much propaganda, we don't know what to believe. But if we get in the Word of God and find what lines up with the Word of God, we'll see. We're living in times like this. The Bible said in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it's in the last days, perilous times shall come. Are we in perilous times? You don't know where you'll have a bunch of people to go back to work with. You don't know whether you have a factory that's got enough, should I say, American-made stuff. You don't know where you have AI doing your job in a few years. It may be happening anyway. But maybe we can put it off just a little way. And maybe the Lord will come and get us out of this place before we have to go through any more hell. Lack of pay. Come on, maybe Jesus will break those eastern skies open. Now, if you're watching this, don't be taking notes on how bad I'm doing. Just say, is he in the spirit or is he in the flesh? I've got flesh, but the Spirit of the Lord is surely speaking today. You're in a time of these nations. You're in time in the hands of an almighty God. And one preacher preached, it's dangerous and fearful to fall in the hands of a living God. God has winked at us so many times. But it'll pass. Sodom and Gomorrah thought it'll pass. And the Lord said, I must go down and see what's going on in Sodom. He came by Abraham. He talked to Abraham, and Sarah was behind the curtain. And she said, you're going to have your wife Sarah's going to have a baby. He talked to Abraham about going down. He said, all right, Lord. He was in the theophany of a man. God was. He walked that way. And he first, I believe, got the permission of Abraham that he made the covenant with to go down close to the Dead Sea where Lot and his family was all together where the land was green and then he was, with grass and sheep could eat. And after a while, you find him not just going toward it, said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. When you begin to pitch your tent away from holiness, away from traditional, sometimes singing some good old songs, that may be my last message, but I'm preaching it. The one of you doing great. But I'm saying this, Sister Pierce, sing. She said, I said, sing, Sister Pierce, please. Because there's something about those songs that brings back my forefathers and who wrote it, Amazing Grace, an ex-slave owner. He got right with God and said, I repent. It's amazing grace. How sweet thy sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, Lord. And you know what happened? God forgive him. But he made a song. He made a song out of that. Bring me a minister. Bring me something anointing to bring the atmosphere for the presence of God. I got another thing here. Do you know that when Cain killed Abel, the Bible said he could no longer feel the presence of God? Wouldn't that be bad not to feel the presence of God? But the Lord put him out of the garden. And he put him in a land of Nod. And the only way I read and study that he could feel anything of God was through music. You wonder why the honky-tonks are full? Boy, I'm getting in tough ground now.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.